the one who looks down on unrighteous rappers and MCs.
Hello, you are listening to CJLO News. You've heard of bird watchers, but how about bat watchers? Here in NDG, there is a group of researchers and community members who go out at night and pick up the sounds of bats. They're called bat walks, and the first bat walk of the year took place on the evening of June 26th. CJLO tagged along. This is the sound of a bat recorded near Terry Fox Park along Rue Saint-Jacques. This sound was gathered using wildlife acoustic technology. Sensitive microphones are able to isolate sounds too high-pitched for human ears. The bat walks are run by a group called Finding Urban Nature, or FUN, a partnership between the charity group Urban Nature Education and Concordia's biology department. FUN leads public talks, tours, and other events to help get citizens engaged with urban nature.
I think kids generally understand it with just kind of as a basic treasure hunt in their own community to find a new thing that they didn't know about before. And I think everyone is a kid at some level that comes out here to learn what more there is in their community, in their daily life, that they might not have noticed before. And once you've noticed them, it's hard to unnotice them.
That was FUN's director, Karen Fisher-Favre. She was out with a team of students and community members. The people on the bat walks are given wildlife acoustic microphones attached to iPads. These pick up the sounds of the bats, as members of FUN explain the importance of bats in the area.
The main ecosystem service that these bats provide to our community is really reducing the number of insects. So a bat can eat up to 1,000 insects an hour in the middle of summer, and the nursing females get up to 4,000 an hour.
The group is in its third year running the bat walks. Here's Concordia researcher Ashley Spanier-Levesse talking about some of the bats they've seen on these walks.
We've mainly seen big brown bats, silver-haired bats, and hoary bats. Occasionally, mostly down by the water, we've gotten eastern red bats. Sometimes a tricolored bat will appear, and there's been a few really random ones that we're not very confident in have reappeared.
In addition to bat walks for public education, the Concordia researchers here are also studying what are called flight corridors, examining the paths that bats take through the skies so that cities can plan development without disturbing the winged animals. For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
See the forest fall. welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. My name is Miriam, and today we have, as usual, our favorite co-host, Judy, and myself, Miriam, as another co-host of the show. How are you feeling, Judy? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Every time I come, like right now, I feel like it's been a long time, even though it's only 1 week. Yeah. But it still feels like it's been a long time since we came.
A lot of stuff happened last week. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but a lot of things happened.
I think that's why, probably. Yeah. Like, it feels like it's been a long time since we come to the studio and all. Yeah. And but it's also good to feel like it's good to come back every week and like do this show for everyone. And talk about stuff that we like to talk about.
Exactly. So, like, talk about us as Arabs in Canada and as students in Concordia, mm-hmm. And students in general. So I'm excited for the topic today. Mm-hmm. We have a topic that was curated by Judy herself. If I understand correctly, it was about like the progress of Arab culture within the decades.
So basically, we're gonna be speaking about like how the cultural have evolved throughout the years, since it was influenced by a lot of, for example, it could be influenced by colonization. It was influenced by Arabs moving to the West. It was influenced by also social media and all of these things.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna go like slowly. We're gonna just touch on every topic. So we can start by talking about the first thing that popped in mind was marriage.
Really?
Yeah. It was like something that was very and I think you mentioned it to me too. But like the idea of marriage has changed within the years.
It has. It was very traditional in the past, the way that people used to marry each other's family in a way, more.
Like family relatives.
Like, you know, like how arranged marriage and like forcing the family forcing their kids or their daughters to marry someone.
Yeah, it was the norm, right? Yeah. It was something that like people were used to. So,
They didn't know it was like something. Yeah. I think it was normal. Like, you know, like my grandma was like someone came to her and she liked him and then she married him.
Right.
Like, but she didn't really have the choice, you know, just because that was how it was in the past.
It was like the final
Your dad says this guy or like this guy has good money, he has like all of these things, like he's like a checklist, you know, like he has money, he can take care of the girl and he can take care of this person, and then okay, that means he's a good person, you know, like in general. And people go and ask about the family and like their history, and like what happened, like, you know, like that's how in my country it happens usually. Yeah,
they ask, like, they tell the wife or the woman that, like, okay, this guy is, like, a good guy. They kind of, like, convince her, you know?
Yeah,
they really convince her. By, like, telling her, like, what he has, what he does, his family history, things like that. So, yeah, totally. It's something that I feel like is slowly, I wouldn't say, like, is disappearing, but it's slowly, like, not becoming the norm. Like, I feel like nowadays, through social media and through this like mondialization, like this like openness to the world, I feel like that like feeling that you have one choice, like you have this is the only choice you have, and if you don't get it, you will like lose your opportunities in life. Like for a lot of people nowadays, it's not the case, you know. Like people think that like, oh, we like, because they're so open to the world and because they're so open to like media and like they see stories and they hear stories and they really like learn by themselves without necessarily being like influenced by people close to them. Like people may think that like they have a choice, you know, like they can say no sometimes, like they can saying no doesn't mean that you will like not have any opportunities in marriage or, you know, in other fields. So
they don't feel like, oh, like if we say no right now, we don't have a choice, because right now like women have been studying, they've been like more open to the world, like especially like, even there are some countries of course that are still. Mistreated,
right,
like
right.
not really treated well.
Yeah,
but from what I'm seeing is like there's more openness to the marriage part, before, or like, oh, you have to like, if you meet the guy through the parents, you have to actually like immediately like kind of marry him, and then like so you don't have a choice. Whereas now I've seen the difference is that, okay, even if it's through the family, even if it's through the family, which is good, you know, I think it's not a bad idea to go through the family, you know, you can go like, if you go through the family, you can find better options in a way, because your family kind of know this family, and they kind of like have the same mindset,
or
you know, like you kind of trust their choice,
right,
in
if
a way.
You want to continue with their like same mentality and maybe same ideas and things like that.
It could be through that, and they like parents right nowadays leave you the option to say yes or no, so they tell you, okay, this is the guy, go meet him, and then if you like him, you can continue with him, if not, you don't have to stay, you're not pushed to do it, you know, like if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it, if you do want to do it, why not, you know? On
even
the contrary.
Even though it's like a small change, like now you have the option to say yes or no, it changes a lot to the person. It's like now they can actually have the the ability to like, they have the voice to say yes or no. Even that like little thing that the parents have decided to do now, which maybe their grandparents didn't do, or their like great uncle or whatever didn't do. Now parents these days, like maybe my parents or your parents or parents from other regions of like, you know, the most recent generations of parents, they believe that maybe it's a good idea for the for their daughter or for their son to have the ability to say yes or no, which is like I think it's a great progress.
It is a great progress, because it helps give the choice to the people, like to because you don't own your kids in the in the end, you know, like your kids have their own mind, their own way of thinking, their own like way of like looking at people, and their own values that they would like to find in the person. So whatever, like their parents, like, oh, like this is the guy, you should marry him, you know, like no, it's not like that, you know, it's not you who's marrying him, it's me, like I'm the one who's gonna marry this guy and who's gonna actually
spend time
with him in a way. I want to talk about the opposite, by the way, like, because we always talk about like the woman and like how the woman is kind of like, you know, like she's the one who's like, okay, because it's she's mistreated, but at the same time I feel like there's a lot of pressure on the men when it comes to marriage as well.
Yeah, that's interesting actually. What do you have to say about men in the
I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of pressure in like, okay, now you have to like settle down, you have to like actually think about like the moment they actually go to university, they're like, okay, we have to like actually learn, and we actually have to study well and like have a degree, and by the age of for example 30 we need to have a stable job, own a house for example, and maybe that's like the norm over there, like own a house or like have money to be able to provide for the family, you know, and they kind of like take the responsibility young, which kind of you know, like it's hard for them too, and I see it, which is now I think it's like less stressful, because I feel like women aren't there's a lot of women are not expecting a lot from a man as much as before. Of course, there's women who are expecting more,
Like,
or less.
On
depends
the
on the personality.
Person,
But I feel like there's a lot of people who are expecting less than before, which kind of help reduce the stress on the guys.
Right. I think like also the pressure from family, like on a guy also is influenced by the potential wife and by their own family, right? So like their own family would say, before maybe they would expect him to do this and this, reach this goal, reach this this milestone, sorry. And then also like the wife's family also expects him to like reach certain milestones. But now if it's kind of the woman who chooses yes or no, it's I feel like it's a less of a it's really it's less heavier for the man, because
of course,
maybe the family of the wife is now less involved, like it's only the maybe between the wife and the husband they gotta agree on some certain agreement,
lifestyle
who's providing more, who's helping, who's not, like who should be this and this, like the gender roles for example,
also that.
So I guess like I feel like progress means that it has to be maybe between the husband and the wife. I think
of course
I think when like a lot of people are involved with what the guy has to do and with the, what the wife has to do, I think that's when it gets too much for the woman and for the man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why in the past it used to be like so hectic and like just like all the families fight within each other just because everyone is trying to interfere with everyone's life. Oh, like you should do this. Oh, like you should do this. Even with kids. Oh, like you should do this to them. And then the other family says, oh, like you should do this. Like, you know, like it all comes to like, escalates to like having problems within the family,
right because and having problems within the couple too. You think that's between you and him, but actually like there's it's more
millions
to it.
Of factors which in fact it's not it shouldn't be this way. It could be like just because, you know, like you and the guy, you have a certain relationship that you guys agreed on, and whatever comes in the past, of course there's influence. No way this influence will never go like from your parents or from the family or from your friends.
It's like embedded in you in a way,
you know, even from your friends you can go like, oh, like you'll be like, okay, this guy did this, what do you think, you know, we are influenced by our friends too, not only our parents or family. So it's kind of like a thin line in between, like okay, we don't want to get influenced but we do, but we're like
we're unconsciously are sometimes, you know, by how we were raised and stuff. Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, honestly, marriage. I feel like it's something that it's been evolving and it's not as it was like 20, 30 years ago, like in so many cultures, in like Arab culture, even in European cultures, like the cultures are evolving all the time.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting to like look into and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's an interesting point, like I know, you know, we're saying the positives and everything about that, but there's a lot of divorces too nowadays. Mm-hmm. Also.
Yeah, true.
There's a lot of divorces that are happening in the in Syria, for example. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing a lot of stories. So there's a lot of divorces, a lot of like also a lot of problems, which is like weird as well. But also it might be because of a lot of like given the infinity numbers of options that you can choose from.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like you have right now, like in this world, we have infinity number of guys that we can choose from just by going on dating apps.
Online.
Yeah. You know, like you can go and like you can find so many options, and this like will higher your standards in a way, and each time you're like, okay, I'll find better, you go find better, and then it doesn't work out, and like you know, like it just like. I don't know. In the past, I think there were less options. That's why people kind of lasted longer in a way. I don't
had
know.
To
I
like
don't
maybe take their first meetup. Yeah.
They were kind of like, I don't know if it's love all the time. I think it was like all about like give and taking.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's less of a give and take. It's more like I want. Like there's no compromisation. There's a lot of people who don't like to compromise.
Right.
Which I think brings a lot of problems. Whereas in the past, I think they had to do it. So they kind of forced themselves to do it, which made their marriage last longer, even though it wasn't as healthy as you think it is. But their marriage lasts longer than nowadays marriage, from what I've seen.
Yeah, they found compromises. Maybe they like they had to really like I don't know, there's like this phrase or this expression like marriage is not about love, it's about compromise. So you have to really like sometimes sacrifice sacrifice maybe your desires or your love for like something that can stay longer, because sometimes love doesn't stay forever, and it's temporary for some people. So I guess like finding as you said, like you marry someone for your life and like not necessarily for like love sometimes.
It could be both. You could be loving the person as well, like you know, it's not only one thing, because with love comes compromisation. With love comes a lot of things that you would do for the other person just because you love this person. You would do anything to them, you know. It comes with it. You know, and I believe in actually I think the couple, even when they're married, they need a bit of break in between. Just like each person would go for a trip on their own for maybe a day or two, just to like you know, like to kind of create this missing each other.
I like that. Yeah, yeah, I agree on that. Definitely.
I feel like, yeah, like, you know,
having their own space for a certain while and then coming back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like just like going away to like think and like come back fresh without, because you know, like when you see the person right, every day, you kind of like get used to them and you forget the fact that you actually love this person so much and you fought to be with this person. Because when you, like, it's the same thing with our parents, you know, like we stay with them for a long time and then we get used to them, but once they're gone, we're like, okay, now like, I really wish I was there at that moment and I wasn't like like losing my time with them.
So having your own space, being like finding an excursion a little bit for 2 or 3 days and coming back with a fresh mind, with a fresh mentality, with like you know you took some breaths and like you know,
it reduces calm problems
down
too.
On your own without like actually pushing that like maybe negative mood to someone else. You would do it, you would like, you know, go and escape somewhere and then coming back with a fresh attitude is also, I feel like it's very important.
Like sitting with yourself, you know, like that's what I mean when I say that. It's like sitting with your own self and like reflecting on the things without having any distractions. Like imagine you and your husband have kids too, you know, and these kids are also like always like talking and like you know, like doing stuff, and you're like taking care of them, and the guy, like your husband, is also taking care of them, so you don't have time to think. You'll have time because you'll always have someone with you. So I think like doing, or maybe not even escaping, it could be doing stuff that you like doing. You'll on have like own? One day every week, for example. It depends like what the deal would be with that between the husband and the wife.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. No,
but that's something I would want to have, to be honest.
Do you think it's common in like Arab culture, Arab society?
I don't think so, but I think they don't realize it. But once they go away from each other, they do miss each other. And of once course, they come back, I've seen it. They kind of like their relationship becomes better and stronger because they kind of saw like the what is it like to live without this person.
Right. They're missing out. They feel like
not missing out, but like missing them. You know, like they feel like, oh, like this person was doing so much. I didn't realize until I was away.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, comes like naturally without actually doing it on purpose. It just happens. Like you know, like if. For example, someone has family outside of here or outside of like somewhere else, and they go for away, and then for example the husband stays whatever, and then they're away for a while and then they come back together. This is when they're feeling refreshed, you know.
I think it's like human nature. I feel like it's like a common like human feeling to have missing someone, getting so used to someone that like you forget your actual feelings you had initially. So these stuff are like very common, and I agree. And I think in Arab culture, I think we have to still learn on that. Like it's still something that is not common.
They do have it, but I think just unconsciously and not really said or mentioned. I don't think anyone knows. I don't think I knew before talking about this right now.
No, it's a good idea. I think I mentioned to you something about like, you know, separates. But okay, so we will go on break, and what song should we put next?
I think we can put this one. خلاص نبا. Oh,
where?
This one the by me, okay. My chemist.
Okay, خلصنا بقى by Mike Massey. We'll put that song after the break. You're listening to Voice on a Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. We'll be back. Bye.
Enjoy, everyone.
July 8th to 20th. For 13 days, Montreal will be dancing and singing to the rhythms of Africa, the Caribbean, and Latin America. Full program and tickets on festivalnuitdafrique.com.
Iridescent Radio Heartfelt Electronic on CJLO 1690 AM.
بقى خلصنا بقى خلصنا مشاعر تعبنا من الهوى خلصنا بقى خلصنا بقى خلصنا مشاعر تعبنا من الهوى خلصنا بقى خلصنا بقى خلصنا مشاعر تعبنا من الهوى خلصنا الكلام الفاضي ما منه نوى بتمضي ايامك حيري مش لاقي الدوا خلصنا الكلام الفاضي ما منه نوى بتمضي ايامك حيري مش لاقي الدوا حابسني بهاك الدوامي شو ذنبي انا بلكي بتقرر على مهلك تنحلها سوا خلصنا بقى خلصنا مشاعر تعبنا من الهوى خلص بتودي وعم نرجع من عيد خلصنا بدي وما بدي ويمكن مش أكيد كلمة بتجيب وبتودي وعم نرجع من عيد يا حبيبي بعد غيابك غيرنا الطريق حتى غيرنا المعزوفة غيرنا الغناء خلصنا بقى خلصنا مشاعر تعبنا من الهوى
Hello, welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless on the CJLO 1690 AM. My name is Miriam again, and I have Judy with me today, as always.
Welcome back, everyone.
So today we have a second topic for you about, again, like Arabs who have to, you know, kind of feel this progression of the culture happening throughout the years, and especially when... Arabs and people like us, they have to really like kind of try to fit in several places at once. So that is something that like is really difficult for us, and I feel like we have to kind of get from each culture we want to actually find ourselves, but like that's very difficult, right? That's something that's, it's a challenge for all of us here who are living in the West as Arabs, that feeling of like belonging to two different cultures at once, but also feeling that you don't belong to any culture, because belonging to multiple cultures seems impossible sometimes, because we have one brain and and one body. So, yeah. But there is a very interesting post actually about Arabs being Arab and being Western. So here, this post is by Micheline Maalouf. She is an American, I believe, American Arab therapist, and she has a Instagram account by her name. So Micheline Maalouf.
I think she's half Syrian, half Syrian. Lebanese.
Okay, half too. Syrian, half Lebanese. We love what she posts, and hopefully we will have her on her on our show one day.
She has always mention her.
Yeah, she has so much stuff. She says with on her posts, but one post by her is about is called actually Two Arab for Americans and Two American for Arab. So we will assume that American means Canadian and Western, but this applies to basically
everyone and
everyone
outside of the Arab world.
Exactly, everyone who is living in the Western world, so Europe, North America, things like that. She specifically calls Arabs in the West who belong to like the new generation, so like Gen Z and the millennials. She calls them as a third culture kid. So these people are is someone who grew up in a culture different from their parents' home country, constantly navigating between two or more worlds. That's what I mentioned before, you know, like navigating between two or more cultures is not easy for one person. So here, a home country culture means the culture of your parent, and the current culture means the culture of the society we live in. That's very interesting. She really like represents one culture that is belongs to your family, and mm-hmm. the other culture that belongs in the society you live in. Mm. Like that's very interesting to look at, like each culture and actually like name them differently.
Like the one that your parents lived and the one that you're living. Is it kind
yeah,
of
yeah? It's like the first culture is like the culture that your parents maybe raised you up with, or your parents like taught you about.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
then the second culture would be the culture you live in. You embed from society.
Because yeah. she's kind of like talking about the people who actually the generation that is Arab originally, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. was raised in the West, basically. Kind
yes,
of,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like Arabs who have never really lived in like Arab society, mm-hmm. that like they maybe visited like maybe a couple times, but most of their life was in the West. So either they were born here or they came very young to the West. And this means that some people may feel rooted in Arab culture, but not fully belonging to it. So it's really interesting. Like sometimes people feel like they've even though they've grown up in a Western culture, they still feel like an outsider, right? Mm. So they have this rooted Arab culture in them through family, you know, through what their friends maybe or media they've followed, but they also live in a society where this culture is not always present.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of get the other culture as well.
Like exactly.
That is here, for example, like yeah. the diverse culture and like the multiple cultures that we learn from. Basically.
Yeah, 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 mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah, so it's like very, very, very interesting. Actually, it's something that I relate to. I'm not gonna put this on me, but like it's something that's very relatable to me, and I think to you too.
In a way, yeah, because I do feel like I'm too Western to be Arab uh-huh. too.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I do see that. Mm-hmm. I do sense that, but at the same time, I feel like it's more related to you because you more lived in the West more than mm-hmm, me. Because mm-hmm. Personally, I lived a bit in Syria, so mm-hmm. and in the UAE. So I was kind of like surrounded by Arabs most right. of my childhood until yeah. like I was 16, and this is where I was like exposed to more non-Arab societies.
Yeah.
But even though with that, like living like the phase with Arabs, and then coming here and like being exposed to non-Arabs and like to different cultures and different mentality and mm-hmm. different way of thinking, that was very interesting, you know, because it kind of shifts your whole personality.
Yeah.
And it makes you not belonging over there, because when you're there, you feel like, okay, you want to talk about these topics, but these people, like some people don't really understand them. So right. you cannot really mention it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, if you want to talk, like sometimes you want to talk about your culture, it's also hard for people to understand
yeah.
because your way of talking about, like, if, like, for example, for me, if I want to talk about something about Syria, a Syrian would understand me more than non-Syrians, mm-hmm. even like if they're Arabs, mm-hmm. it's going to be like a bit hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that, like, I see the differences, but, you know, like, I feel like I do belong in both worlds,
yeah.
and I do not belong at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. You know? Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what to explain.
You belong.
No.
You belong in between.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The name of our series.
Yes, yes, it is in between, you guys.
To be stuck in between.
If you know, you know. Anyways, yeah. So if I go back to the post by Micheline Maalouf, she mentions that sometimes our Arab identity feels too much in the West, right? Because we have a lot of baggage that has been taught to us or that we have seen, but some people may not understand mm-hmm. it completely.
Yeah.
And it might feel like we don't belong because the baggage that we have carried throughout our life isn't validated or isn't understood by some people in the West. So, for example, your name. Your name is like a lot of, I feel like a lot of Arabs struggle with that in the West. Then your name is sometimes mispronounced by a lot of people in the
in the West,
in Canada, in France.
And tell us, how do they call your name in like
honestly
other countries?
I was lucky.
Do you remember?
I was lucky. My name was
it was a bit
pronounced
long.
Okay. In English it's Maryam, in French is Mariam, but it's very it's easy. I feel like my name has vowels. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for people, but some names like, for example, again going back to my sister, I mentioned her every show, but she has a very difficult name.
Yeah.
And it actually affected her a lot. Now she wants to like She wants people to call her by her second name. Mm-hmm. You know, like how much it can actually affect you is insane.
Yeah,
because like some people are kind of maybe too sensitive on that. Like they don't want their names to be mispronounced. Though they are insecure about their name and they want to change their name, or they will use their second name that's provided and things like that. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that experience is a nightmare for some people, and I'm sure a lot of Arabs have experienced
that. My brother too, like his name is very hard to pronounce.
Yeah,
To the point that he like whenever he goes to a place and like they say, "What's your name?" He's like T.
Oh, what's his name again? Tariq.
Tariq. He's the one.
How did they pronounce it?
He just says T.
No. How did like the
Tariq?
Tariq.
His name is Tariq. Oh, Tariq.
Yeah, I even pronounce it wrong.
Like you say
Tariq.
You know,
even
my other brother Talal, like his name is Talal, they call him Talal.
Yeah, Talal.
Talal.
Yeah, no, it's like a complete difference.
You know,
like
Talal.
It's
like especially the L. Mm. It's very different than the Lam in Arabic. Like L is like L. Lam is like Lam.
Yeah,
and Ta and Ta. It's like very different. That's why like you see like the difference in pronunciation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you want to change your name.
Yeah.
But like, you know, one time when we were in the US, he said his name and they wrote it correctly. He's like, yeah, like they wrote it correctly.
Okay.
Like for the first time ever, someone heard it and they actually pronounced it right and wrote the name correctly.
Yeah.
Which was like very rare to happen because it's very not known.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, he felt like he belonged.
In a way, I think so. I think it does affect, like you literally just said that, like with your sister, like she actually doesn't want to be called with her name.
Exactly. So. Yeah, no, it affects you emotionally. Mm-hmm. And like for your future decisions in life. Yeah, yeah, it does affect you. There is something else about like feeling too much with your Arab identity. Micheline, she mentioned that sometimes you are judged by your food, especially this could happen to people when they're younger, you know, at school. Sometimes your mom packs you lunch and then you go to the cafeteria at school, you open your lunch, like couscous, like tagine, you know, like some like unfamiliar foods that kids will look at them. They're very picky on food, so they will look at you and they will low-key judge you.
Mm-hmm.
And that could maybe affect, as a child, could affect you you see food from your other culture, so the culture of your family. And that also can affect you when you're older. You want to start fitting in. You want to start eating food that is the same as other people in your school, like other Western people, and you don't want to like look weird. You don't want to look different. You want to blend in, right? That's like a lot of children and teenagers feel that way when you're passing through puberty and things like that. So, yeah, food is a big thing. Also, it's like it's horrible. I feel like a lot of people experience that. I know like my friends also who lived here throughout their like who were born here. They've experienced that too. So it's like
because it's not like. Here it's like very unique, so each one has like different food, but there's a lot of people who like just eat nuggets and like apple and like big snacks, little snacks,
right,
so like seeing other things, it probably like comes from even like, oh, like why do you have like more things and maybe I have less, and like why is it weird, you know,
maybe
like,
maybe jealousy, I don't know,
it could come be, from could that be, you know, like you never things, know where it comes from.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting like how these kids like actually judge other kids because of their food, like it's very dumb, and like, you know, it sounds very dumb.
It's so stupid, but like as a child I feel like you
of course
you get affected by it, and the children who are judging you also feel like they're like, you
of
know,
course, yeah,
like
yeah.
not
even
aware
by
of
the
what
way
they're
you're
doing.
Wearing, like mm-hmm. the things that you're saying,
right.
that if you don't know how to speak English properly, if you mm-hmm. don't know how to speak mm-hmm. French properly, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. all of that. And even if you don't know how to speak Arabic properly, you can
yeah.
be judged, you know,
yeah.
like it could be like multiple things that
exactly.
are affecting you, not only one thing. You
yeah,
know?
No, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like food, clothes, something that you might have been judged about when you were like growing up in the West. I think it's very, very common. Another point is you are constantly having to defend or teach about your culture. Explaining the truth versus stereotypes about women, religion, customs. Yeah, I feel that a lot. I have been through that. Honestly, when I was growing up, I tried to avoid it. I tried not to like really raise up my voice on stereotypes and people that they want to say something as if they're entitled to say anything about like women and religion and culture, specifically Arab food, culture and things like that. People were entitled to say stuff about it and they didn't know anything about it. But and I was mostly like quiet on that when I was growing up, because I wanted again to blend in. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to really like kind of, yeah, exactly, like blend in, not really raise up my voice on it, even though maybe I had some knowledge on it through family and mm-hmm. through movies and through the news and things like that, and documentaries, things like what I was watching as a kid. But because I wanted to blend in, I wanted to fit in, I wanted to not be judged and not be like cornered, I kind of like shut myself down of that. And I mean it was a mistake by me, but I feel like now as I grow older,
you weren't ready to like
I wasn't
speak
ready
out at that
yeah
time, so
I wasn't ready.
It's kind of like not a mistake, like you did
yeah.
it naturally, you know, like you just
yeah I wasn't
you,
aware
you weren't aware and
yeah.
you weren't ready to speak
yeah.
up because you didn't feel like okay you wanted to speak up mm-hmm. at that time, which is mm-hmm. fine, you know, like you
yeah
you
I guess
got your point now. You can say you have your chance
have,
now
bro. I have like a whole radio show.
Yeah, exactly. You can speak up. Speak up, say the things that you want, you know.
So no, as I grow older also I learn also yeah. a lot about my culture, so now I have like I have been equipped with a lot of knowledge about Western culture, Arab culture, things like that, so now I feel like I can say more. But I agree on this point where like some you feel like you have to constantly defend your religion, your food, your culture, your like Arab culture, Arab habits, that for some people may be seen as like unfamiliar or uncertain or bizarre
explain,
or
yeah.
weird, or you know, like something that, because they're not used to it, but doesn't mean that like it's something that is wrong or mm-hmm. something that is strange or
they're
something.
Not used to it
yeah,
yeah.
they're not used to mm-hmm. it, so
it's normal.
It's something that is very common with like Arab Arab Western or Arab American, Arab
yeah.
Canadian people. Yeah.
I feel like people now, like, they're more used to it
mm-hmm.
and they go to places to eat like Arab food, like
yeah.
everyone talks about it, you know.
Yeah,
so it's more common than before
mm-hmm.
like because we kind of like came here and like at the beginning, like I know my uncle used to tell me like 20 years ago Canada was not, there were not a lot of Arabs. The only people who were here, like kind of like Lebanese, because after
yeah.
the civil war,
mm-hmm.
and then throughout the years, more and more and more and more Arabs came,
mm-hmm.
and this is like when they became more familiar and they became more open to the fact that we're here, and
mm-hmm.
They actually liked our food, and
right.
we kind of blend in together. Because I've seen a lot of like Arabs and non-Arabs, like you know, blend in together
mm-hmm.
and kind of like have a certain dynamic,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know.
But like again, this creates stereotypes. I feel like
yeah.
having Arabs maybe I don't know, they just create certain image of Arabs, maybe like they people have a certain image on what kind of food exists in the Arab culture because they have just seen like a specific
of course,
number of
yeah,
food.
Yeah.
So.
Of course.
And then
they
you
have like
to,
a stereotype.
Yeah.
If they want to learn, they will have to learn.
Yeah.
Teach themselves on
right.
like how to do it or throughout people, which
yeah.
is usually what
which is
that's
again
case.
Our role, our job mm-hmm. is to really like
voice it out
and say, like, you know, countries. Defend maybe mm-hmm. our culture a little bit. This comes back to mm-hmm. the point. So yeah, no, it's a thing that we still have to do. And I agree, nowadays with like more Arabs are in Canada, you know, more Arabs are like building themselves up, creating businesses,
I see.
Mm-hmm. things like that. So it gives a positive maybe image and really like allows people to learn more mm-hmm. about different like facets of our
like
culture.
Even music, like I went to a party like not so long ago. This girl, she's Mexican, and she was like the music. I love Arabic music. She's like, I love Arabic music. Like, it's my favorite type of music. And she's like, I know Nancy Ajram. I know like this person. Okay. And like, she was singing from her heart, mm-hmm. which is so interesting because you don't. I did listen when I was a kid, but growing up, I stopped listening to them and I started listening to English songs.
Okay.
So it's kind of like interesting to see like how. Them, they're listening to our songs and us, we're listening to their mm-hmm. songs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of like both trying to learn about our cultures.
Yeah.
Cultures.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like shows the blending and like the way that we're presenting ourselves and the way like we're influencing people and the way they're influencing us, because I see us being here and like giving this opportunity of like having the freedom and like the change of thinking and like just being able to talk right now, like in this show, you know, like
it really changes a lot.
A lot, you know?
Yeah, having that space. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah, no, definitely. It's something that is in constant work and there's something that we're working on. So, yeah. And there's something interesting about... again, this is something very interesting, having a feeling that you have to shrink yourself by changing your accent, your customs, your identity to fit in and to avoid stereotypes. That's mm-hmm. something that is big, and especially like the new generations like us and things like that, feeling of like really like maybe changing your accent when you speak to blending English and Arabic, and at the like basically it's not even like an official language.
I had a funny interaction today
like
at work. After like in the end there were like I was saying bye and everything, and there were like Syrians and like Arabs, and the guy was Persian, like the guy, and he was like, oh, like these are Syrians, these are like Arabs, Tunisians, like everyone here speaks Arabic. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, I spoke in Arabic and I mixed English with it. He mm-hmm. was like, no, I don't like that, you still mixed English. He was like, everyone here is literally Arab, and I do under his Iranian he's like, I do understand Arabic too, so you're free to speak. Okay. But me, because I'm used to like speaking Arabic and English together, so this was like very funny to actually to have like this interaction. Now we're talking about
exactly,
this.
Exactly. Yeah.
So interesting, because the guy was like, "You're literally speaking with an Arab, like Syrian person, and you're speaking in English mixed with Arabic. Like, mm-hmm. why are you like?" He was like, "Why are you doing this? Like, speak in Arabic, you know?"
Which
my grandma does to me too. Like, she's like, "Speak in Arabic too, you know?" Like,
but you know, I don't like when strangers do that. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a stranger. Like,
no, I don't mind. No,
I don't like it. Gives me. It's like, who are you to tell me?
No, it's not that big of a deal though. Like, he was just
get triggered. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, I didn't see it like that. I just saw like he was just like saying like to speak like you know, he was just saying like speak in Arabic, and I was like, yeah, I know, I'll speak with Arabic.
Okay. Because he also know how to speak Arabic. Yeah, so I know. He just doesn't know you very well.
No, he was like, do you know? I asked mm-hmm. me first. He was like, do you know how to speak Arabic? I'm like, yeah, I do know how to speak Arabic. He's like, yeah, let's speak in Arabic. Okay.
And then he's like, why didn't you prove me that you speak Arabic?
No, he's not judging.
I'm kidding.
He's actually really nice, so.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, like, mm-hmm. you told me, like, there's a lot of nice people at your mm-hmm. work, so I'm happy that you started working, mm-hmm. and, what time is this? 49? Okay.
We have, like, an ad that we need to put.
Yeah, we'll put some ads, and then we'll go to a next song. Let's put, Little Thoughts.
This is very calm, though.
Okay.
We can. These are all songs.
Amar Diab.
Well, this is nice. This is called Khatafuni by Amar Diab and his daughter too singing with him.
Oh,
so it's like a new version of the song.
Okay.
And it's becoming trendy. I've been listening to it a lot. So I was like, you know, let me put it here. It's all nice.
Right. Perfect. So we'll go with some ads and then we'll play Khatafuni by Amar Diab and
Orange and Dana Diab.
Okay. Awesome.
Dana. I think Dani or Dana. Something like
perfect.
That.
Perfect.
So enjoy, everyone.
Radio Heartfelt, electronic on CJLO 1690 AM.
خطفوني حنين خطفوني I'm like a movie his eyes will never leave me I need attention but you're too precious Oh I should leave you but I find it hard to go خطفوني حنين خطفوني You're so annoying you know just how to talk to me I need attention but you're too precious I know I should leave you but I find it hard to go
to the voice of the voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. The songs today I found very, very interesting. They really are a mix of Arab music, Arab melodies with like Western Western melodies.
It was chosen on purpose.
Yeah, like a dream. Yeah.
It was chosen on purpose because I feel like we wanted to show like how Arab culture is kind of influenced by Westerns.
Yes.
And this is like actually a very good example, like very good examples. Definitely, you know, like you can hear the violin, you can hear the different melodies, you can hear different like languages. Like in the last song, there was English and Arabic. Mm-hmm, so just seeing like how much we've been influenced by the West, and like even though we lived in, even if like these people lived in the Arab world, for example,
they are still influenced by the West.
They still got influenced by the West. So.
That's very interesting, because I also like found that like the melodies, even though they're different, they kind of blend together. Mm-hmm. It's like they make this like new genre, maybe that maybe wasn't in existence like 10-15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I see it now. I see a lot of like Arab artists that are kind of like emerging and kind of like being more present in America and Canada and Europe. Like there's like they're more in festivals. Like did you see like Iliana and Oshiega, for example? Like
even
she was the first
like Coldplay right
in
now.
In Coldplay, she's going on tour with Coldplay. Like it's like a lot of Arab artists are you know raising up their voices and like introducing like Arab melodies and Arab rhythms to people who have never heard them before. So it's like so
even
cool.
Even within DJs, like you know, like Adam Porch, for example, like remember when you went to like the Picnic Electronique, like his songs, like he puts Arabic songs. Like the last song he put was Feirouz. Who would have thought? Like
I was with you.
It was like the last song in the DJ set, which was so interesting, because Feirouz is like such an icon,
and
to have her song without putting any other thing was crazy for me. I was shocked, actually.
Best for the last.
I'm like, I was shocked because I didn't expect it, and to see like how much influence we have, like even on these artists that are not really Arab, shows, you know, like non-Arab Francis Mercier, for example, the other DJ, he also puts Arabic melodies or Arabic songs that are known and people know about. And everyone enjoys, like, even non-Arabs, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As long as you just, you know, say that it's us who us who introduced these melodies and not try to westernize them and make it disappear and, like, you know, you know, whatever. But, as long as we keep that tradition and we keep those melodies intact and we introduce them in a more of a, like, exciting and a more new and a more modern approach to the West, it's super, super, like, super helpful and super interesting for others to hear and, like, to be introduced to. So,
I agree.
I also like the other one too, actually. What's it? What was
Amr
it called?
Diaw or no?
The first one that we put.
Khalasna Ba'a. By Mike Massey. Actually, this guy I've never seen before. I've been listening to him like very recently.
I've
seen his songs. I have like another song that I really like. It's called Ya Zaman.
Okay.
Very interesting guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love the violin beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also Omar Diab has some violin too.
Very natural. Like you can hear his voice in Amr Diab, the mic. You can hear his voice clearly. Like you can hear the instruments, not a lot of beats. Like also westernized in a way, like with the kind of like a dancing melody.
Right.
No,
I really liked it. Yeah. Again, back to our topic. We have a few minutes left. So do you have any final words you want to say about, you know, either about that the progress of Arab culture and the Arab perception and like in society, or you can talk about like experiences of us Arabs in the West.
I can talk about the progress. I think the progress is like going really good. I see a lot of improvements. Of course, there's like a bit of like lack because of lack. We already talked about this a lot in our show. Lack of providing to the people like knowledge and teaching them about these things, because they don't have money in the poor countries.
They don't have access to education.
Yeah. So this is part of it. But despite all of that, I see a lot of people trying to improve and a lot of people who are trying to be more open and about the idea of like marriage. It could be like about the idea of like getting a lot from the Western. Like my dad always tells me, you know, like get the good things from here. He's like, there's a lot of good things here, you know, like you can find so many good things, you know. And I always like, it's always in my head. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to see the good things in the West and try to get them, like, you know, like get the ideas and everything that
values
that I see as good, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I definitely agree.
What about you?
I-